But first, a different form of evolution, the development of public good. Some microorganisms secrete factors that benefit not just themselves, but their neighbours too. And mathematician Benjamin Allen has been developing a way to model how this comes about.
So we're looking at cooperation in microbes, and this happens a lot in nature. One of the main ways that microbes cooperate is by releasing chemicals that are useful to others. In a colony of cells, one cell or more has to produce some useful chemical, and then that benefit is shared by other cells. So one example of this is yeast cells, when they are out of their preferred nutrient, glucose, they can produce enzyme that breaks down more complex sugars into glucose. These digested sugars then, they don't go to the cell that makes the enzyme, but they're shared kind of throughout the colony.
Oh, I get it. So in other words, that one cell that makes, I think it's called invertase, isn't it, the enzyme, that goes into the milieu that all the cells are growing in. So it's sort of one cell pays to make that molecular machine, all of the cells benefit from the fact that it's chopping up other sugars to make things available for everybody.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So what's the big unknown then?
Well, so this is a form of costly cooperation. And the question is, how does this behavior evolve? So if we think of survival of the fittest, you would think that the cell that produces this enzyme is at a disadvantage because it is doing all the work to produce this, and then other cells get to reap the benefit.
So there is kind of sort of assume that the other cells are going to cheat on the equation, in the sense that if the cell that's producing some invertase secretes it into the local environment, well, won't its neighbors do the same?
You have to think that this behavior evolved somehow. So at some point, there must have been competition between cells that produce this enzyme and cells that don't. And somehow this producing behavior survived through evolution. So the question is, what gives this production behavior an evolutionary advantage over the cheating behavior? There's two answers to that. One is that the cell actually does get to keep some of the benefits from its own production of whatever useful resource it makes. The other thing is that if the cells are arranged in some spatial configuration and they reproduce locally so that their daughter cells remain near the parent, then they're sharing this benefit with other cells who are also likely to be producers of this public good.
Simple to say, I suspect rather tricky to model mathematically.
Right, it is. Our task was to simplify nature enough to be able to do exact mathematics on it, but not so much that we lose the essential features of what's going on. For example, in colonies of microbes, cells can be arranged in all kinds of chaotic, interesting ways, but there's a certain regularity to it. E. coli, for example, are long, thin cells. So when they're arranged in a colony, there's some chaos, but there's also spaces where the cells are kind of arranged in a predictable end-to-end fashion. And so we took that regularity and said, well, let's assume that all the cells are arranged in some very predictable, regular fashion. And so then we can say, well, what if one of these cells produces this chemical? How does that become shared with the various neighbors?
And what do you find if you do that?
We find that the cooperation behavior has an evolutionary advantage if the benefits are high enough and if they're shared locally enough. We call this a diffusible public good because some of it is kept by the producer, some of it is kept by the neighbors, some of it's kept by the neighbors of neighbors. And that rate of sharing has to be small enough so that most of it really goes to the cell and its immediate neighbors.
What about the concept of things cheating? Because it could be that an external organism comes in and steals, it takes away but doesn't pay back into the pot. And equally, it could be that the organism itself evolves to do that and becomes parasitic on its parents, if you like, rather like modern-day teenagers.
Right. So that's then the evolutionary question. So if you have a colony that's already cooperating and then a cheater arises in that colony, you have to ask, well, what are the odds that that cheating behavior will spread throughout the colony. And what we find in our model is that even though this cheating behavior might initially have an advantage, it doesn't have enough of an advantage to take over. Because, say, the cheater does well initially and produces some offspring, some daughter cells, then those daughter cells will also be cheaters. And so the cheater will then be surrounded by other cheaters, and thus in the long term, it won't be actually getting any of the useful public good that it needs.
Benjamin Allen, he's based at Emmanuel College in Boston.